content itself, the how often you update that content, how well you design that content has basically become a product. It's a, like basically people are building products of these content and they're competing with other products who are ranking higher than themselves. And so I think PR right now should be focused on that same ethnology.
Fire up your mobile device, strap on your earbuds, and prepare for another exciting episode of the Agents of Change podcast featuring Rich Brooks.
Welcome back to another episode of the Agents of Change podcast. I am your host, Rich Brooks, and this is episode 332, powered by Flight New Media. Today we're going to look at how PR, public relations, can improve your search visibility and ranking, and talk about how you can do that PR yourself. It's a pretty interesting approach. I think you're going to dig it. But before we get to that, I'm continuing to streamline my presentation for Social Media Marketing World 2020. This is, I think, the fourth year that I'll be back talking about how to develop a digital marketing strategy for your business or for your clients. Every year, I strive to make it better than the previous year with more actionable takeaways. This year, I'm also focusing on some of the challenges that we're facing now around privacy, personal data, increased competition online, and ultimately how to prepare for it. If you haven't grabbed your tickets yet for Social Media Marketing World 2020, and it's not yet March 2020, then there's still time for you to get that ticket. Just head on over to theagentsofchange.com/SMMW2020. SMMW 2020, that stands for Social Media Marketing World. So again, theagentsofchange.com/SMMW2020, and you'll get right there. You'll see the full agenda, all the hundreds of speakers who are going to be there, all the networking parties. It's always a great time. I've yet to miss one, and I hope to see you there. If you're anywhere in Portland or near Portland, Maine, at the beginning of April, I'd love to see you there too. Make plans to be in town on April 7th. For our first ever annual Fast Forward Maine conference. This is a brand new conference for growing businesses here in Maine. Now, you don't have to be a Maine business owner or entrepreneur to attend. This will just be great content around growing a business anywhere. It just happens to be that everyone who's speaking there is from Maine, and we will have a few Maine-specific topics throughout the day. But it's going to be great content no matter where you are. Chris Brogan kicks off the day. I know you know who that is. He's going to be followed by speakers and panelists to present on company culture, storytelling for business, how to grow your business, how to attract top-tier talent to your team, financials, and more. For more information and to grab your early bird ticket, head on over to fastforwardmaine.com. Now, lean back, take a deep breath, relax, close your eyes, let go of the steering wheel. Well, maybe not that, but get ready for some great content around do-it-yourself PR and how it can help your search visibility. My next guest has spent over a decade in the world of marketing. Recently, he grew a startup from 0 to 40 million page views through press outreach and then got acquired by Google. After that, he translated his know-how into Just Reach Out, a SaaS launched in early 2016, which is now used by over 5,000 businesses and startups to pitch relevant journalists and get press coverage without the help of PR firms. Besides Just Reach Out, he runs PR That Converts, a PR coaching program teaching entrepreneurs how to reach out to journalists and get consistent coverage. He's a columnist for Entrepreneur and Forbes and has published close to 1,500 articles, most notably on Wired, The Next Web, Business Insider, Inc., Fast Company, as well as Ahrefs Blog, Moz Blog, and many others. I'm very excited to be chatting with Dmitry Drugalov. Dmitry, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Good to be here.
So tell me a little bit about how you got started with all this.
Well, I was not very happy at my job as an engineer. I quit my job and my wife was thinking about moving out to do a graduate degree in California. And I said, I'll tag along. So I moved with her to kind of see about a business because I heard that people were starting businesses in Silicon Valley and they were raising money just with having an idea and an empty website and generating lots of cash. I didn't know anything about that because I was a computer science guy. I was kind of stuck doing coding. And so that was the initial start. And 2 weeks into my MBA, I met a guy named Rinal Desai. He was number 20 at LinkedIn. He had, this was 2007. He had just left LinkedIn to start his own startup. And he was a DIY PR guy. So he was a guy that just kind of did PR on his own. I thought all of this was just insane and crazy. And I thought, I got to figure this out. I got to figure out how to do PR and marketing and build businesses. And he said, you know, I'll give you a test. I'll let you work here for free if you do this one thing. You can put up a Wikipedia site for us. And I said, well, I don't know anything about Wikipedia, but do you guys have a company yet? And he goes, kind of. I mean, we just incorporated. I was like, well, that's good. But isn't like Wikipedia for people that like have something to say? And he's like, well, you know, I've been in a few articles. And yeah, I put up a page and I just fought those editors like crazy to keep it up. I got attacked, not attacked, but just basically the editor said, this is complete spam, take this down. And I was like, I got a job to keep here that's free, a free internship. I need it. And so I, you know, like I looked up his LinkedIn profile and I saw that he was number 20 at LinkedIn. I saw some of his accomplishments and I said, well, this deserves to be here because that's his new venture. And I think it'll be worthwhile for people to know that this guy has moved on to something new. And, you know, they held the site. It's still up there now. That company got sold 4 years after or something like that. But that was a wild ride. And that was my first foray into the whole PR space and marketing and all that.
So you were relentless. Well, I'm glad that it worked out for you. Now, I've been doing SEO for a long time, like longer than I like to admit. And there was a time when PR was touted as a way of getting inbound links and therefore would help you rank higher. But then that idea seemed to fall out of fashion. Why do you believe that PR is still a good way to improve a business's search engine visibility?
Well, I stumbled into that notion in 2007, 2008, as I started doing PR because it was DIY PR and it wasn't PR firms or anybody else who was doing this for us. It was smart PR. So essentially, I was building links to pages that I wanted to rank. That was the whole notion behind it. From day one, I never thought of PR as, hey, let's just get on TechCrunch or, hey, let's just get on Wall Street Journal. Cause I was like, you know, that traffic is going to die someday. And that someday is going to come 24 hours after you're on there or maybe a week. But I just busted my butt to try and get on this thing for like months. I got it. And then the only thing I have to show for it is a week worth of exposure. Like, no, I want to rank. And so I started thinking about it that way. And so the type of PR I was doing wasn't huge, like huge launches like that, but it was like a guest post on a domain authority 50 site. And I would link to a specific post. What I found is that back then, 2007, links were all the rage. Like people were buying links. There were link farms. There was just insanity going on with link acquisition, and they were actually pushing rankings. Google has smartened up, as you know, as everyone else knows, and it's a no longer a driving factor. It's one of these factors, right? But it's not a driving factor anymore. And content itself, the how often you update that content, how well you design that content has basically become a product. It's a, like basically people are building products of these content. And they're competing with other products who are ranking higher than themselves. And so I think PR right now should be focused on that same methodology. I was focused back then. I've been focused since 2007 on that. Just making sure it is aligned with that content. But nowadays, it's the content itself that needs to be paid attention to a little bit more than acquiring those links. But yeah, I mean, it moves it. I'd say links that get clicks move the ranking. Links that do not get clicks do not move the rankings. And I don't care if it's a follow or do not follow or this site, that site. I don't care. If it's getting clicks and off that click, a person is spending time on your site, or that, then that's helping you rank. If it's just sitting there, if you got a link on Wall Street Journal, Inc. Magazine, Fast Company, Entrepreneur, and it's just a link and nobody's ever clicked it, it doesn't do anything for you, right? And so
you're not seeing any value from that. I mean, there's obviously the value anytime, even if, you know, away from just SEO, but if people are coming to your website, that's fantastic, that there's value right there. But what you're saying is your experience is that links that get clicks have more value than links that don't get clicks, strictly from an SEO standpoint.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So talk to me a little bit about then, like, what's your process for that then? You know, you have this PR experience. So let's say that there's a page out there that you want to raise up in the search engine. So what are some of the PR tactics or approaches that you're going to take to make that happen?
I'm going to look at the page and I'm going to start inserting data, insights, and examples that I can link to from other websites when I write articles on it. Because the only way to get another website reader to click on a link that you put into an article is if you have something very detailed that you cannot talk about in that small article. The majority of articles that you write for Entrepreneur Magazine, Business Insider, whatever it may be, they're not 2,000, 3,000 word articles. Like, very seldom do you see, you know, like Small Business Trends blog or business.com blog feature a 2,000 or 5,000 or 3,000 word article. They're mainly 800 words. And so the only way you're going to get somebody to click on a link in that is if you specifically cite an example that you can't put into an 800 word article. And so the first thing that I do is I go back to my page that I want to rank and I say, okay, what examples or insights can I put in there that I can backlink when I write for other pages, and I can backlink in a way that I will get a click from. And so,
let me just pause here because I want to make sure I'm understanding you. So, you know, because I'm thinking back to the bio where we talked about the fact that you've written over 1,500 articles. So let's say it's your website or a client's website that you're trying to drive traffic to a specific page. Are you actually the one who's writing the articles for these different magazines? And so you're able to insert a link to your website or to a client's website in a relevant way?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay, so you're basically, you are your own journalist. You're playing both sides, and I mean that in a positive way. You're both the PR person and you're the journalist creating this content.
Right. And even if you're working with a PR person or a PR consultant, you need to train them to do that for you. So like, if they're trying to place you into Entrepreneur or wherever you want to be, they need to know this. They need to know that it's not just a link to my homepage. Like, that's worthless. It's a link to a specific example within my site on a blog post that I want to rank high. So,
can you think of a client or your own stuff that you've done? Just an example right now, just to anchor this in our listeners' minds. Like, give us an example of some of the kind of content that you've been promoting.
Whoever is listening to right now, go on Google and type in sales management. The word sales management will pop up a featured snippet. I hope that the latest update, we're chatting in January here, hasn't killed that featured snippet. as of like a week ago, I think we're still there. Pipedrive. Pipedrive will be ranking for the word sales management. And, you know, it took us a while to get there. We kicked out HubSpot. We kicked out Forbes. We kicked Wikipedia out of the first page. And we got the snippet. Sales management. And so sales management is a 70,000, 80,000 searches a month, a very competitive, highly competitive keyword. The way we did that is precisely this. We wrote a piece of content, and then what we started doing to get links, and there is a tutorial which you can link up in the notes that I wrote up on how we did this specifically with the four blog. We wrote one on LinkedIn. This was LinkedIn blog. It was a do not follow. Top MBA and Fast Company and Inc. Those were like the four articles that we published. And you can see the backlinks, all of that, in that tutorial that I wrote up on Moz. Moz actually still runs ads on that article. It's 2 years old. I wrote up that case study. For 2 years, they've been running Facebook ads on that article on Moz blog. It's a case study, basically, of how I've done it. But it's a good example and kind of gives people a perspective on what needs to happen to get a page to rank. And it talks about that, like adding those pieces of content inside it and writing for other publications. There's other ways to gain links, of course, but this is one that I kind of go to as my first.
And so, you know, you've done this perhaps because you're a successful writer, you've got all this experience, but is there any opportunities to get other journalists to link to it? Like if business owners, maybe a small business owner, entrepreneur, they just don't have the time or the access to the kind of publications you get to write for, what should they be doing?
Yeah, I think, you know, my business, I run Just Reach Out and I help people pitch press and I help people who don't have any PR at all, ever done it ever in their lives. And so what I say is respond to press opportunities. These are journalists who put out inquiries every single day. And so an example is help a reporter out. We index all of these and we'll let you kind of search by a keyword. But if you just respond to them every single day on, there's a hashtag called journal requests where on Twitter people put things out. These are people looking to interview someone because they're writing an article and you can be one of them, right? If you qualify. So if you do the right keyword searches with those hashtags or inside those newsletters, you can be on their show or all in their articles. There's Spot a Guest. That's a newsletter that comes out where people are looking for podcast guests. There's lots of these different places. We aggregate all of them, but you can sign up individually and answer their queries. And that's how you can start getting featured in press and build up your online portfolio. And it's the easiest way. It's the lowest hanging fruit. And you should be doing that pretty much daily. I say 30 minutes a day. All of our customers, I tell them 30 minutes a day, just answer these press opportunities to really get the ball rolling, to get yourself in there. Even you might not get that initial link to where you want it to be, but you'll tie that conversation, you'll start that relationship, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And making positive relationships with journalists in your industry is just smart business anyways. And I love everything you've said. I'm kind of curious how much you might recommend pushing journalists to link to a specific page. So you follow up on Harrow, Help a Reporter Out, or any of these others. You get in touch with the journalist. They want to use you in the story or some example. How do you actually say, hey, listen, I've got a lot more information on my website. Here's the URL you might want to link to. Like, is that an approach you might take, or do you have a better way of doing it?
No, because that just doesn't work a lot of times, because it's like, more information means like, meh, maybe that means I should add it, but maybe not. It kind of has to be a must-have example. So if you're talking, like you and I are recording this interview, you not sharing like my Moz case study at the end of the interview would just be a disservice to this whole audience that are listening, because then you'd be like, I can't not link to that case study, right? Because I've mentioned it so many times.
Do you hear that, Jen? Like, you've got a link to that case study. So I'm just letting you know.
So like, do the same thing when you're giving your expertise or your opinion or whatever you're doing. You must reference your own examples on your own blog. And say, all right, I have a whole blog post on how to do PR on your own, and you know, send that to whoever is talking to you. So like, I can send that to you now, and it'll probably be very relevant because we're talking about it. And so essentially, you want to reference it as you're giving the answer, right? And so that's where the magic of it comes in. You got to work it into your answer in that example. I'll give you a cool example. So we were just doing this article, and you know, it's a company in telecommunications and SMS marketing. And so the article that they wanted to be referenced in was parenting. And so the guy who was giving a quote was a parent. And so it was an article about keeping kids off phones or something like that. And he's like, dude, I don't know how to get my SMS marketing business into that. Like, I'm like, well, think about it, right? Kids spend all their time on their phones, and they're being marketed to all the time. You deal with businesses who are trying to market to consumers, right? What is the overlap there? Well, you're striving for attention. Do you have examples on your own blog where consumers are spending all their time on their phones, but they're missing your customers because they don't have the right channel? SMS marketing is the right channel. Do you have an example of that? He's like, yep, I do. I'm like, all right, in your quote, when you're answering this question about parenting and keeping your kids off the phone, make the analogy of how it's similar to businesses and reference your example, because obviously you're not going to spell out the whole example in those 500 words. and so he did that, you know, he got featured and he was on USA Today. It's like, how do you draw that parallel to what you have? And how do you explain what you're trying to answer and take the time to make it a speech? Like when you're writing a speech, you're going to take like 5-7 rewrites of it or a book to make sure it's amazing. Same here. Like if you're answering a journalist as an expert, think about it. Like this is like, how are you going to reference your own examples and make it kind of a must have, like, you know, like.
So. In that example, it sounds, Dimitri, like this is an opportunity where there's an email back and forth, so I can really craft my message. That's not always going to be the case. Sometimes a reporter might call us up. How might you transition them? I mean, obviously, hopefully you've got your pattern down, but do you say, oh, let me follow up with some additional information, or how might you work that?
I'd say if you're on the call, think very fast on if you have anything on your site right now to what you're speaking, and mention that on the actual interview. Hey, I actually have a whole breakdown on this. We're not going to get into detail, but I'm going to send it to you. And this is going to break down this whole thing that I just told you, because I'm speaking really fast and it's going to be very hard for you to really do it justice when you write this out, right? So make sure to check out my whole detailed example of what I'm explaining to you now. So I would do that. You know, an example comes to mind. So a friend of mine, James Cinca, he was in New York Times very recently. And when he wrote dopamine fasting, right? It was a big PR story. If you Google dopamine fasting, whoever's listening to this, you'll find James Cinca's New York Times article. The backstory of that is that this New York Times writer flew all the way across country. There was a whole sequence of events that happened. He threw this term out, dopamine fasting. It's like too much, you know, like when you, anyway, there's a long story behind it. I can tell you some other time. But this woman flew out, she's interviewing him, and I told him, dude, this is going to be a face-to-face interview. You're going to have to name drop big boys that you want to play with. Tim Ferriss, Nur Eyal, all these people, because this is going to be a big story. And you're going to need to get those relationships going because you want them mentioned in the story. And you want to name drop your own service as well, a lot, and examples of it. And that's what he did. So he could, as he was talking, he was like, okay, who do I want to mention in this story? Who do I want to refer to in the story who would help me later down the line? And so he was, as he was speaking to the journalist, saying, okay, Tim Ferriss has a dopamine, you know, like whatever, like he's got like this one example. And so, yeah, just referencing and before the call, just looking up what the journalist has covered, what you might reference in the conversation, and thinking about it that way so that, you know, you get the most out of it at the end, you know.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned case studies as a good, you know, that's the kind of thing that a journalist might want to sink their teeth into and create a link over to go into more detail. What other elements in the articles on our own website should we consider to make it so necessary to the reporter's article that they're just going to be like, yes, I'm absolutely going to link to this? Any recommendations around that?
Yeah, templates are very good. So if you have specific, you know, I was in Business Insider because I wrote up an article of cold email templates, and they loved them so much that they did a showcase of 5 of them.
Oh, wow.
And so any kind of like example templates on how to do something or any assets around that's great. When I worked at Zurb, It's a design firm where Twitter Bootstrap came from. So if anybody's listening knows has a design background, they'll know what Twitter Bootstrap is. In the early days, Twitter Bootstrap was part of Zurb. And when we were building that up, we created stencils for designers to use. We created jQuery plugins for designers to use. Like any kind of like, we had a little playground area where basically designers would come and they'd take little blurbs of code to use in their industry, and it was made their job a little easier. So any kind of like little templates, little plugins, little extensions, like all that stuff is of course very linkable. It takes time and effort to create that. And I mean, creating extensions and plugins, these things, you know, this is like a major investment versus content. So the first thing is just content, like little templates for people to use in whichever field you're at. And then, you know, the next level, I'd say, you know, start creating little plugins, little dummy tools, little checkers, like for Just Reach Out. We want people to use our software to do PR all on their own. So we have an email analyzer tool. It took us about a week to create it. People type in their email in there and we'll tell you if it's too long, if the tone is off, if, you know, it's got bad verbs in there or whatever it is. And it's a quick little checker tool. It draws people in, people check it out, and it's a linkable type of an asset where people can say, hey, this is a great little tool for people to use if they want to know how pitchable they are or something like that. So
that's great advice. Where do you want people to check you out online? You've got Just Reach Out. You've got PR That Converts. Can you give us those domains and maybe where other places where people may want to reach out to you personally?
Yeah, sure. So justreachout.io is my SaaS platform where I spend most of my time. And then you mentioned PR That Converts. That's my course where I teach people how to do PR all on their own. I'd love people to check out my blog. Actually, I have a personal blog, criminallyprolific.com. So prolific that it's criminal. That's why it's called criminallyprolific.com. And I most of those posts are ranking. So if you pop criminallyprolific.com into Ahrefs, it'll give you an idea of kind of like all the keywords that are ranking the positions and the CPC. So you can kind of see and in the backlinks too. So you can see what has happened and how all those links work. So you can put a face to the name and reach out on Criminally Prolific as well. All of it goes to one email. So
awesome. Dimitri, this has been fantastic. Definitely excited to test out some of these techniques as well. And of course, we'll have links to everything Dimitri mentioned, as well as that. What was the Moz article?
It's the case study, the PipeDrive case study on how PipeDrive ranked for sales management.
So if you want to check that out, check out the show notes. Dimitri, thank you so much for your time today.
Awesome. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Are you ready to do your own PR? Well, if you missed anything and you wanted to kind of take notes or understand a little bit more about the step-by-step process that Dimitri takes, we've got a full transcript and you can just find it at our website. That's at theagentsofchange.com/332. theagentsofchange.com/332. It'll get you right there. Now, don't forget to grab your tickets for Social Media Marketing World. Again, that link for that is theagentsofchange.com/smmw2020. And please, if you are going, come up and say hello. I'm really pretty friendly. And don't forget to check out the Fast Forward Maine conference at fastforwardmaine.com. I would love to see you come out for that as well. We'll be back in 1 week with more great digital marketing content to help you improve your online presence and generate more leads and more sales from your website.
It looks like we reached the end of another episode of the Agents of Change podcast, and another mystery has been solved. But for how long? And what new challenges will appear on the horizon? Join us next time for more digital marketing adventures.